In the ever-changing world of digital marketing, SEO remains a pivotal strategy. Today, we're joined by Jesse Ringer, the mastermind behind Method and Metric, a SaaS solution revolutionizing the SEO landscape. Get ready to unravel the secrets of search engine dominance and learn how to outrank your competitors. I'm Michael Bernswag, host of Software Spotlight and the founder of Software Oasis. And with that, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it's great to have a fellow SEO and individual in this segment of the market on the podcast. So I guess a lot of our listeners are probably wondering, you know, what is Method and Metric all about, and what got you to where you are?
Yeah, so Method and Metric is an SEO agency deeply rooted in working in analytics and data to better understand what inspires people to click and engage with companies. We work with primarily B2B SaaS companies, helping to optimize their website to ultimately generate more leads, generate more demos, and ultimately more revenue. I've been doing SEO now for a dozen years. And I got my start as a lowly little copywriter trying to make his way into the corporate world. And I found that with copywriting, it was really hard to kind of advocate for myself when my boss or a client didn't like my writing or had, you know, explicit feedback about it. I didn't really have any recourse to kind of like defend myself. And I found that with analytics, I could point to the data to show that my work and my content was actually having an impact. And so I kind of started to gravitate towards SEO because it's very data focused. It's deeply rooted in analytics. And I found that that was a good way to kind of, you know, gain some confidence in my early career and, you know, start to roll with content and data and everything that came with it.
Interesting. And how did you make the pivot towards, you know, focusing on SaaS and those types of companies? Because that's at a high level, that's what we're all about. So yeah. I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, it happened pretty naturally, I think. As an entrepreneur, I always gravitated to meeting with other entrepreneurs. And in Vancouver, where I'm from, there's a lot of startups, a lot of tech founders here. And so it kind of grew pretty organically from there. Also, too, I found that like the strategies that work really well for B2B SaaS companies and those websites, something that's kind of easily aligned with my worldview. You know, a lot of content, a lot of ways to demonstrate your expertise, and kind of slowly building that relationship, you know, taking your time to understand what your clients care about, what your visitors are interested in, and slowly building up that rapport in order to, you know, acquire new customers and maintain that relationship. So that kind of process was something that was innately interesting to me. That's always kind of kept me coming back to working with these SaaS companies.
No, that's exciting. And, you know, obviously with I have to say the AI word, but, you know, we've seen just a huge shift in this segment of the market in just the last year or two, just a whole world of change. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you look at it, Google is scratching their head trying to figure out how to deal with all of this. And what are you seeing from yeah. where you sit?
Yeah, you know, I'm impressed we made it about 5 minutes in before talking about AI, but it's certainly, you know, ever present now, right? Like, it does carry a lot of opportunity to improve our processes and our work. You know, at the core of it, I think that AI will become a fantastic tool for a lot of us. What Google is struggling with is the proliferation of really mediocre content generated by AI. You know, these machine learning systems, they're just a giant database of all the content that they've read. And so the content it produces is just an average of all of that. And so it's not terribly unique or inspiring. And yet it ranks, and there's a lot of ways to get that content at or near the top of the results. And that's creating a lot of problems in terms of the quality of the search results. You know, the legit businesses that are actively trying to provide value for their customers and readers and potentially new clients, is struggling. And so when it comes to AI and Google, yeah, Google is trying to figure out what the best bridge is between all this AI generated content, their customers, the people that use Google search, sure. And you know, the people that spend money on using Google Ads. And so where it's at right now, I think is not ideal, especially from an SEO perspective. You know, crappy results means that people have less trust in those search results going forward. And so they'll become more skeptical. And so I think that there will need to be a pretty sizable change in terms of what Google presents in those results in order to regain the trust and not just become a big empty spam world.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, I mean, I think their core focus is on trying to, you know, deliver results that match the search intent of the individual on the other end of that keyboard, and to provide the best possible results. And, you know, like you said, a lot of times AI is just, you know, taking what's already out there and recompiling it. But I think unique content that adds value to the internet is clearly the key, mm-hmm. to getting the right messaging across and getting results. Now, talking about results, what are the types of metrics that you like to focus on when you're working with a client that may be new to Method and Metric and may be trying to achieve, you know, may come in with some preconceptions of what they want to achieve versus what the reality of what they should be looking to achieve is?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we're presented with this kind of situation every time we onboard a new client. You know, SEO traditionally has been about ranking number one for your set of keywords and just watching the money roll in. And so we do get a lot of clients that get, motivated or, you know, focused on ranking number one for a big, high competitive term, you know, like a head term, like the term SaaS or, you know, HR software. You know, it's a highly competitive term. It's exactly what they do. But at the end of the day, do we know if that's going to generate more revenue for them? Is it going to generate more sales or more demos or anything like that? And so we look to educate our clients on understanding the search intent behind the keywords. So yes, those big competitive terms with a lot of search volume and a lot of relevancy matter for sure. But at the end of the day, they need to be generating revenue and sales. Sure. So we do look at the keyword rankings. Like, we wouldn't be an SEO agency if we weren't. But we also look at engagement on the website, how many clicks those search terms are generating for them. You know, what landing pages are getting traffic? What pages are people engaging with the most? And engagement can look like, you know, reading the whole article, watching a video, clicking through different content pieces within that page. And so we're looking at those types of metrics. And then at the end of the day, you know, we need to be able to show that our work has generated or helped to contribute to more leads, whether that is demos or free trials or actual signups for the product or the platform. You know, we need to be able to show that and demonstrate that. So those are all big things. If we're working with a new brand that doesn't have a lot of historical data yet or hasn't engaged in SEO in the past, we'll look at, you know, how their impressions are doing as a bellwether to see if their content is starting to gain traction. We'll ultimately look at, the number of ranking terms and, you know, how much time people are actually spending on the website and how much content they're engaging with.
Sure. And when you're starting with a new client, you know, obviously you have a whole range of scenarios from whence they came, but how do you set the right expectations with SEO? Because it's not like paid advertising where you just turn it on or off and, you know, you see instant results, be them good or bad. With SEO, it's more of a long-term gain. So how do you set the right expectations? Because obviously at the beginning, they're spending money and they're not seeing results, whereas later on, they'll start to see some of the results of all their effort.
Yeah, that certainly is the case, right? Where SEO generally will take 3 to 6 months before we see a meaningful change in the traffic and the rankings and so forth. So, you know, to take a step back, the first thing that we do whenever we onboard and start working with a new client is, you know, earning their trust. How do we ensure that they know that we're with them in this journey, that we're looking to help improve their business and ensure that this project is a success on both sides? And so we'll work on like components around like the analytics and figuring out what the goals are tracking and so forth. We'll look for low-hanging fruit to initially get them going on that front. And once we kind of have that trust, it's a lot easier to kind of show them the progress that's being made. You know, we'll walk them through every monthly report that we send them. We'll show them the metrics. We'll show them the data and the implications. And I think that one thing that we have to do to kind of show them that the work is happening and taking place and actually having an impact is showing them, you know, the things that are not going well either, you know, being really transparent and open about the things that are not where we need them to be or expect them to be. So it's all about building that trust, ensuring that they know that we are like working hard to bring them the results, because at the end of the day, if they're successful, then we're successful too. And so it's all about that kind of the communication and working towards that. And just reminding them, like having a lot of different touch points throughout to ensure that they can ask their questions when they aren't sure.
Yeah. And, you know, where do most of your clients come from in terms of, are they, you know, doing something currently, or are they typically starting from scratch, or do they have something that's maybe not working and they're throwing their hands up in the air, or what do you say?
That's, you know, SEO is one of those things that people can't really see the work of until they see the results. And often we'll get clients coming to us or prospects coming to us when they are not seeing the results. So they might have a brand new website. They might have been engaging in paid ads for a while, or social media or other marketing channels and not getting the results thereafter. So that's generally how we will start an engagement and start working with someone. They've gone through the efforts of, you know, building a brand, building a great product, and starting to market it in different ways, but are finding that those are not sustainable and that they're not getting the quality of the leads or the number of leads that they've been expecting. And so it's oftentimes when they're like, okay, now that we have this beautiful product for sale and available to the public, we need to start marketing it. And so it's often, yeah, a beautiful design. And then they start thinking about SEO.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So when a client comes to you, do they typically have a platform in place that they're using for their CMS, or do you typically have to set things up from scratch? Or
I missed that.
How do you get the? Yeah, so when a client comes to you, do you typically have to set up their CMS for them, or do they have a website in place? Or
yeah, generally they'll have a website in place. Sometimes we'll come in to a project and help while they're building a new website and help develop the strategy for the site architecture and the content and the keywords that they're targeting. But more often than not, they have an established website and established brand and are looking to improve that. You know, with SEO, you know, as I said earlier, it takes like 3 to 6 months to really see the impact. And so the brands that generally are focused or thinking about SEO have a longer term roadmap in place. You know, they have product market fit, they're generating revenue, and they have some kind of level of comfort with being able to see the delayed results, that they know that the SEO is not going to make or break their business right away, and that they can think, you know, 6 months into the future or a year into the future and know where they're going with that. So most of the time they will have a website, they will have the CMS, they'll already have revenue and clients and other marketing efforts on the go. They're just looking to improve all of that and make their website a much more powerful sales tool.
Makes a lot of sense. So when you're working with a client, is there typically a lot of foundational or cleanup work that you need to do before you can move forward with new SEO efforts? Or what do you find? What's
typical? With no disrespect to any developers and designers listening to this, like, they often are not thinking about SEO when they are building a new website. And so there's often a lot of code and structural components put into the website that are hindering the SEO performance. And I'm thinking about large images, autoplay videos, unnecessary CSS and JavaScript and things like that, that can really slow down the performance of a website. The other side of that is people love the concept of a minimalistic, tight website with maybe a couple of pages. But for SEO to be really effective, you need to be able to have a diverse set of landing pages to capture the different kind of search queries, but also the mindsets of your potential customers, like having your different features listed, having different types of blog content and resources on your website. And so those kinds of things will come into play. One common thing when people build a new website for the first time is that, well, it's extremely hard to think about the future state of this website. They're thinking about what the website will look like in the near term, and they don't think it'll ever really evolve beyond this. And so that's something that we come across quite often, is that this website was built with one idea in mind, and it'll need to expand in order to reach all of the potential customers that you may be targeting.
Makes sense. So are there different platforms that your team is more familiar with working with, or that you prefer, or what do you say?
I mean, personally, I think WordPress is great. And the open source aspect of it ensures that no matter what agency or contractor or employees you have, they will be able to access and manage that website. When you go with a custom CMS, you're kind of beholden to the developer or designer to make changes for you, and that becomes pretty cost prohibitive very quickly. So WordPress, I'm a huge fan, and you can tailor it to any way that you want. On the e-commerce side, if you are selling tangible products or even like services, you could use Shopify. I think Shopify has a lot of great functionality, and it scales well, and it has a lot of great designs, and people are familiar with it. When their customers are interacting with your website, that familiarity is really helpful. So those two are pretty great, in my opinion, in terms of like businesses looking to build. But we'll work with just about any kind of platform and ensure that, you know, their content and their technical components are all dialed in and working well.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Those would be my two favorite platforms of choice, both ends of the spectrum. So as far as different clients that you've worked with, can you give us an example of maybe a client that came to you and, you know, was looking for help, and you were able to generate some measurable results that put a smile on their faces? Maybe you kind of walk me through a before and after.
Yeah. So one example that we have is a email finder called Anymail Finder. And what they do is they are able to accurately find email addresses of people at various organizations. And one challenge that they had was that, you know, there's a lot of companies in the market for one. That's one challenge. But the other was that they were getting a ton of kind of low quality URLs that would quickly become outdated. And so the thinking was like, the issue was that, you know, for a corporation like Microsoft, you know, they have people that are there for quite a few years, but then they move on and any email finder's URLs would like generate all of these people's pages. And so what we were able to do was ensure that Google wouldn't crawl all of these personal pages, but were discoverable by people. And so it consolidated a ton of the crawl budget that Google had, and put it towards the pages that were better at generating new business rather than these kind of like one-off personal pages. We were able to, one, improve their ranking ability for several highly competitive terms, and also help to improve the number of signups and registrations they had through the tool. Once we had the technical components dialed in, we also then moved on to like a content strategy and helping to educate their users a lot more in terms of like strategies for sales teams and their other kind of like target audience, to also bring in people that may not have been on the hunt for a certain tool like this, just kind of educate the community a lot more. And so those two things together greatly improved an email finder's kind of presence on the web, but also their revenue and client base as well.
Very nice. It sounds like that was a legacy tool that had been around for some time, if they had that much overhead in terms of pages.
There was like 100,000 URLs and going at, So Google crawling that was quite a challenge.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And as far as your team, how do you go about coming up with unique and creative content once you've identified a content strategy? Yeah,
that's a great question. And I can't take nearly any of the credit for this, but because my team is quite smart in terms of figuring out the creative angle to the content pieces. So our process for figuring out what content that we should be writing for our clients really comes down to our clients' core competencies, who they're trying to target, and the relevancy of the topic. We'll then dig into seeing like how Google, or what Google ranks the most and most frequently, what kind of content it looks like. Is it a listicle or a long form piece? And then we'll work with our clients to shape out the content in terms of what Google is expecting to find, what people are generally expecting to find as well, and making sure that it aligns with what our client has to offer and putting their unique brand voice into that content.
Got it. Okay. And then to be sure that the content is unique, how do you go about creating the pieces? Yeah. What do you?
Well, we always have a human write it. We'll go through like an AI checker. You know, we've found that even though people are writing the content, if we haven't seen any conclusive data on it, but we have a theory that if an AI checker thinks that it is AI generated content, there is a chance that Google will think that it's AI generated content. So we will work to find, make sure that the content is unique, but then also adding in unique anecdotes or unique flavor of the information so that it is distinct to the client that we're working with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, as far as some of the strategies that you're using there that kind of set your agency apart from what, you know, other solutions that some people listening to the podcast may be looking at, if you were to bullet point a couple of things that you think are really unique, what would you say those things are?
You know, man, It's a hard question to answer insofar as that, like, I think everything that we do is pretty unique. But what I think clients love about working with us is how well we are equipped to disseminate data and analytics and apply it into a human side business case. Taking that data and remembering that all of those, you know, numbers are actually people interacting on the internet. And we're really good at translating that into something that is tangible and applicable for our clients so that they can, you know, do what they do really well, which is make great products. And we're able to market their business and ensure that they're getting the right quality leads, attracting the right audience, and ultimately retaining them as well. So we also do think much more long-term than I think the average SEO agency thinks when working with our clients. Like, we have clients from before I started Method and Metric who have been with us over a decade now. And so there's a lot of trust between us and those clients. And, you know, we're able to really think long-term for this and continue to scale and iterate with them.
Makes good sense. And from a company point of view, do you find that a lot of the clients appreciate having like consistent interactions and being very involved in the projects? Or
yeah, I think so. You know, at least that's the feedback I've gotten. We have clients that, yeah, we meet with them every week, and we have a lot of conversations about what's going on in the market, what's going on in the search results, what's going on with their business. And so, you know, there's clients like that that really appreciate that conversation, especially in the early going. You know, communication is a huge part of building trust. And so for them and for any new clients that we work with, like those weekly touch points, as well as asynchronous conversations on Slack and email, help to kind of ensure that we're thinking about their brand and not just the SEO, and they're able to, you know, ask their questions and communicate and share what's going on with their business. You know, and on the flip side of that though, we have clients that, you know, we have such a good relationship with them that we might speak once a month or once every 2 months, and most of our communication happens over email. And so, you know, that takes a long time. We don't advocate for that kind of relationship at the early going. We want to make sure that everyone's rowing in the same direction whenever we start to work with a new company.
Yeah. So would every client have like a dedicated team that they're working with, or how do you manage each account?
Yeah. Well, we're a tight knit team. We're roughly 12 people right now. And so, yeah, you get access to just about everyone on our team, especially in the early going when we start our audits. We have a specialized team of like technical SEO, content, user experience, as well as a data analyst that all play a part in the initial audit and optimization. Once we've moved past that, depending on your company needs, whether it's content or technical support, you'll have a dedicated team to work through those components as well.
And are most of the projects, you know, based on an hourly rate or based on a project basis? Yeah. Or how do you work?
Good question. Yeah. So we generally start on 6 month or 1 year contracts, do a monthly retainer, and we have benchmarks and deliverables for every month of that contract. That's generally how we like to proceed. It ensures that both teams are invested in the project and that we're both equally invested in the outcomes of that project. Some things that we've done in the past too, we do competitor audits and give them some detail into how they compete in the search results. We'll also do an analytics audit and optimization as well. Because in order for SEO and other performance marketing to be really effective, your data needs to be tidy and accurate, and you need to be tracking the right metrics. And so we'll help set that up and ensure that that's working too. For brands that are a little unsure of diving into SEO. We found that the analytics, audit, and optimization has been a great way to initiate a conversation and build on that relationship and help them kind of get familiar with what the SEO process will be like working with Method and Metric.
Makes a lot of sense. And do you find that there are certain people that need to be involved in the projects when, you know, from a client standpoint to assure success? Are there different roles? Or
A successful project with this, like, we need, you know, the client's input. If you have a marketing team, they are perfect for this. If you're growing a company, you know, having a founder or senior leadership member on our weekly calls is really helpful. If you have a developer on your team, that'll make things so much faster and more efficient because they will understand the intricacies of your website and will be able to make a lot of progress very quickly. But so in an ideal world, marketing person and a developer, but someone that has a good understanding of the business is ultimately what we would like to have in a good partner.
Makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned measurable metrics. Are there certain metrics that are fairly common across different projects you're working on that you typically try to measure?
Yeah. Well, one thing that we like to, because booking demos and getting free trial signups and registrations is an ever-changing game, you know, A/B testing is really important. So we'll set up different goal tracking within the analytics platform to understand like what content and what offers are most effective. So at the end of the day, we need to be able to track, you know, your goal conversions, these leads that we're helping to generate. So that's probably the most common one. We'll look at engagement as well, like what content and what pages are people visiting and spending time on? Where are they getting stuck? You know, perhaps if they're a returning visitor or a new visitor, those are ones we'll also kind of explore. And then ultimately, too, like what channels are they coming from? You know, ultimately, we would love to see SEO and Google be the biggest channel, but that's not always the case. And if we see that they're coming from different referral partners or from social media, we'll look to see how we can help enable that experience as well so that when they do come to the website, you know, they're much more inclined to take action sooner rather than later.
And that's great. And like, as far as different channels, obviously you're trying to attribute different, you know, conversion goals, you know, for clients, but are there channels that clients may not be engaged in that you try to encourage them to add to their marketing mix?
Yeah. Newsletters. Look at that? Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Newsletters. It's often overlooked, because I'm sure everyone listening to this has, you know, thousands of useless newsletters coming into their inbox. But at the end of the day, from a business perspective, you own that list. Like, you have an intimate connection with the people that are receiving that email, and you have the ability to tailor that conversation with them much more specifically than you would say with social media or SEO or even podcasts. And so when you have a newsletter list, you can segment and you can tailor that messaging in such a way that really resonates with your audience. And ultimately too, like, algorithms are going to change. That goes for Google, that goes for TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. All of those are going to change. Whereas with the newsletter, the algorithm isn't really going to change on you, and you'll always have access to that list. And so I think that it's one that people often overlook, but it's the most effective, and it's been proven to like be one of the most impactful channels on revenue, because those people are opting in with their email address, giving you permission to contact them. And so if you do it right and do it strategically, you can generate a ton of revenue through your newsletter and emails.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we've been focused on our email here at Software Oasis.
Great.
So
yeah.
it is definitely a proven and consistent channel. And it's a great way to keep in touch with your clients, with your customers, with your prospects, with your
absolutely,
you know, with every with everyone on your team.
Yeah, exactly. Like so, as long as you're not spamming them, it's fantastic. It's like it's so good.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just that it's a permission based channel. So as long as you're being respectful of the permission that they've given you to, you know, market or, you know, present valuable information to them, it's great. And like you said, it is a channel that you control.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us on the Software Spotlight today. I think that was a really good deep dive into a lot of what you're doing there at Method Metric. And for any of our listeners that are looking to reach out, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
I mean,
you?
Our newsletter is great, but we also spend a lot of time on LinkedIn and Instagram. It's Method of Metric on both of those. And we also have a free SEO competitor analysis for any of your listeners too. We have the link here.
Sure, and we'll leave a link in the show notes so people can take advantage of that.
Yeah. Our website is methodometric.com. Always happy to chat with anyone curious about SEO.
Great. Well, I've enjoyed our conversation today. And speaking about WordPress and websites, coming up on Monday, in the realm of digital creativity, we'll have May Create Design and Monica Pitts, the visionary founder who launched that agency. She'll unveil the secrets behind crafting captivating custom WordPress websites to elevate your brand. So that's coming up on Monday. Next Wednesday, we have our weekly webinar. Head to softwareoasis.com to sign up for our newsletter and our weekly webinars, and keep up to date on the latest in SaaS solutions for your SMB. So today we've had Jesse Ringer from Method and Metric on the Spotlight, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.